5. You see three things. If you're putting an outline together, James chapter 5 covers three different thoughts. It covers possessions, it covers patience, and it covers prayer. In James chapter 5, we'll be covering two of those, one this morning and one tonight. This morning, we're going to look at the idea of possessions. And remember, we're looking at the idea of faith. Some people don't consider that when they look at the book of James. They think that James is not necessarily dealing with the idea or the concept of faith. But again, let me just show you going back to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1 and verse 3, and you're going to help me out. James chapter 1, let's look at verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your what? Faith. Look at verse 6. But let him ask in. All right, then go to James chapter 2. And this is just a spattering here of the word. Look at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath what? Faith, and have not works, can faith save him? Go to verse 17. Even so, if he hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast, and I have works. Show me thy, without thy works, and I will show thee my, by my works. Look at verse 20. But thou wilt know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Just so you know, someone that says that the book of James doesn't have anything to do with faith, you now have evidence that they don't know what they're talking about. All right, because a whole lot of the book of James is talking about faith, but it's a faith, you'll see another word that was through there. It's a faith that is working. It's a faith that is evident. And that's what I have a problem with today in Christianity, especially in America. Because in America, as we have seen through the book of James, there's a whole bunch of people that say that they are Christians, but their life doesn't match up. And then when you come to them and say, you know what? You live like a heathen. You live like the world. You love the world. You talk like the devil. You live like the devil. And they say, don't judge me. I say, with James, show me thy faith with your works. That's what the book of James is about. Because what he says is, you're a hypocrite. You have a false Christianity. You can talk all you want, but I want to see your life matching up. That's what the book of James is about. It's a very practical book, and we've been seeing different things through the book of James. One man, as we come to our topic, was thinking about different things as far as the oddity that there is with things as far as the world and things as far as Christianity. And this is what he said. Funny how we need 2 or 3 weeks to fit a church event into our schedule, but we can adjust it at the last minute for any social event. He said, funny how we can't think of anything to say when we're praying, but we don't have any difficulty thinking of things to talk about with a friend. He's continued on. He says, funny how we believe what a person or a newspaper say, but question everything that the Bible has to say. Funny how big an hour serving God looks like, or an hour coming to church is, but how small it seems when spending it in our leisure, like golf or fishing or whatever you put the playing that you put. Funny how laborious it is to read a chapter in the Bible. How easy it is to read 100 pages of your best-selling novel. And this is where it comes for us this morning. Funny how $10 looks so big when you're dropping it into the offering plate, and so small when you take it to the store. It just never seems to be enough. But it seems like an overabundance when it comes to the offering plate. You see, we want to be king over our lives. We don't want anyone else to have control over us. And yet that is opposite of what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, it says that we are not our own, but we are bought with a price. And then it says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And this is the phrase, which are God's. You know, Jesus is worthy of our total devotion. This is what James has been dealing with helping us with all through basically the month of November. We started, I think, maybe a little bit in October. And we've been looking at the book of James, and we're seeing that James is saying that God is worthy to not just talk about, but he's worthy to live for. There should be evidence in our lives that we are Christian. It shouldn't just be a mouth service Christianity. It needs to be a life service Christianity. It should be evident in our actions. And if it's not, then I think that somebody does have a right to say, I don't know if they're saved. Because your life doesn't match up with your lips. God doesn't just want lip service. He wants a life dedicated to him. He wants us not to just say that we are Christians in the things we say, but also to be the Christians in the things we do. We come to chapter 5 here, and I'm going to actually start in chapter 4. I believe this idea starts in chapter 4 and verse 13. Look at what it says in chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell. And notice what it says, and get gain. So it is bringing the subject of possessions into our realm here. Look at verse 14. Whereas ye know what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Then we go to chapter 5, and James, as we have seen in chapter 4 and in some of the other points, he comes out swinging like an Old Testament prophet. Look at what he says in chapter 5 and verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl. That word howl means shriek in the Greek. For your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. And ye shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look at this idea of faith that works even in our material possessions, I pray that you would deal with our hearts. Lord, we always ask you to do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask you to have your will and your way. We claim and ask your power in Jesus' name. Amen. In James chapter 5, we're looking at the idea of our money, our possessions. Because James is talking about a life that is showing itself evident by what we do. And we saw that in chapter 1. Because when trials come into our life, our faith can be tested and tried. And it should be evident that we have a strong faith. Trials come to do that. He also in James chapter 1 talked about temptation. In James chapter 2, he talks about a faith that isn't partial towards the rich and the poor, towards somebody that is educated and non-educated. It's not having partiality. And then he goes to James goes to chapter 3 and he talks about our tongue and he talks about wisdom. And in James chapter 4, he talks about our lust and our flesh that seems to take over. But now he comes to our pocketbook. And you would say, man, I just don't understand this, James. I mean, all that other stuff, I mean, I understand it, but now you're coming into my pocketbook. You're getting into my bank account. You're stepping into my savings. And James is saying, like the Apostle Paul in Romans, he says, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And you'd say, well, what do you mean? How is James saying that? Because what he's saying is that your possessions, if you're a Christian, are God's. It's not just I can do whatever I feel like with what I'm getting in. And he's specifically talking about the wealthy here. But you may say, well, that's not me. Well, just so you know, you are wealthy. You are wealthy. Because compared, just so you know, the average American lives better than 95% of the rest of the world. Did you hear that? The average American lives better than 95% of the rest of the world. Now, you may say, well, I don't have this and I don't have that, and that's probably your problem. Because you're an ingrate. You don't understand how God has blessed you. You don't understand how God has given all these blessings to you. And your idea is that I've got to have it all because you're acting like these rich men. I think sometimes we put the rich in another category and we don't consider ourselves rich. And yet many of us sitting here, oh, we're not going without food. We're not going without raiment. We have plenty to eat. We have plenty to wear. We have all that we want and all that we desire almost. Now, you may say, no, I don't. I desire $1 million. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some people in other nations and other places around this world that they had nothing this morning. Right? They'll have nothing tomorrow. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. And we crab and complain because we didn't have enough. Or we crab and complain at some restaurant because they didn't get it to us fast enough. We have plenty. Accountability is taught all through the Bible, and that's what I believe we're going to dwell on and we're going to think about in this passage with James. Because I think the rich stepped above accountability. And that is where we become dangerous as Christians. Because accountability means stewardship. And that's what, as a Christian, I am. One is a steward because he is accountable. And one is accountable because he is a steward. When the first man and woman disobeyed God in Eden, the Lord cried after them and said, "Where art thou?" He didn't say, "Where are the riches?" He didn't say, "Where is your time? Where is your interest?" He said, "Where are you?" And that has been a cry from down through the ages of the Creator to the created being. The Creator is still crying out saying, "Where are you at?" Not necessarily because when it comes to stewardship, God wants all of us. He wants and He deserves my pocketbook. And that comes with my whole being. And some of us, the way we approach God is He can have some of us, but He doesn't get all of us. And that's what I think we're addressing here this morning. James already touched on this idea of possessions. If you look in our text, go back to chapter 1. In chapter 1 in verse 9, it said, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." But look at verse 10. "But the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away." So already, he's putting some thoughts there, and then he addresses them later. He expands the thought. That's what a lot of things in James chapter 1 are touched on, and then they're expanded later in the book. Well, in James chapter 1, he touches on this idea that money is going to fade away. But notice, he also touches on it in James chapter 2, in verse 1 and 2. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, And then in verse 3, you have respect of persons. So in James chapter 1 and James chapter 2, he addresses this idea of wealth. One man put it this way, those who are rich in this world are, there are four type of people. There are those who are rich in this world and poor towards God. Number two, there are those who are poor in this world and rich towards God. Number three, there are those who are poor both in this world and in the next. And then number four, those who are rich in this world's good, but they hold a loose hand on them, and they are rich also in the next. I pray that we can, and maybe you don't consider yourself rich, but I'm telling you, if you're an American, you're wealthy. You're wealthy. We have all that we need and even more. Most of us, we have plenty in our storage to take care of a lot of things and a lot of other homes. But the Bible is wanting us to consider a couple things when it comes to wealth. So let's consider it. There's 3 points this morning. So let's go to James chapter 5 and verses, the first part of it, verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to break it down a little bit. First of all, James wants us to consider that we may be valuing our possessions wrongly. Notice what he says here. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. In the ancient world, there was three types of wealth. There was food, there was costly garments, and there was precious metals. Now, James doesn't necessarily mention all three, but you kind of see them in the context, all referenced. All right, he says, your riches, and that this is the only time that that word corrupted. It literally means rotted. Your riches are rotted. It says your gold and silver is cankered. That's the only time that word is used. And so what is he saying? Your value system is wrong when it comes to material possessions, because this is what the majority of us think. We say with our mouth that we live for the eternal. We sing with eternity's values and views, but we live as though everything was right here and now. Our value system is wrong. How do I know that? God convicted me of this. God convicted me as I came to Christmas. As I came to Christmas, and what is Christmas? The word says it. It is about Christ. Now, just so you know, I'm not Catholic. I don't believe in the Christ Mass, all right, whatever, all right? But it's right in the word Christmas. I'm celebrating Jesus Christ coming down to this earth. And as a Christian, more than anybody else, we should understand that. And God was just convicting me and just saying, so what are you doing about it? Talking about a Christmas offering, talking about giving to the Lord. What are you doing about it? You buy gifts for everybody. And then, you know what? Maybe I'll give Christ a little bit. God just pounded me and said, give me a lot. And you'd say, I mean, oh. Yeah, that's what I wanted to do, is argue with them. But really, would I even be able to celebrate Christmas without him? No. And yet many of us, we buy all kinds of gifts, and I'm fine with that. I enjoy Christmas. But that's what God was doing with me, saying, well then, if you're paying all of this, do you really show by your works that I am important? You see, money does speak, doesn't it? Because many of us, we think that money, you know what, I can give God. I've tithed. We value money wrongly because it's everything to us. It's all about what we can get and what we can store. Notice what he says to the rich man. He says to him, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you. Why is it rusting? Because they're storing it up, aren't they? And that's the way many of us, I've got to, and I'm not saying you shouldn't save some. I think we should save a little bit. But many of us, we act as though this world is all there is. Our value system is wrong. How is your giving? You're taking care of yourself, and every once in a while you give God a little bit. And that's what I learned again, being over in China as the millions just file by and none of them know about Christ. Do you know that there are millions, and they say maybe billions in this world that have never heard about Jesus? Never heard about him. And we sit here and we sing, and I enjoy the Christmas season. I enjoy what God has done. But what we have got to understand is God didn't give me things so that I can just sit here on this earth and enjoy everything. No, it's to promote and to further his kingdom. That's why God has given us things. That's why God has given you funds. What? So that you can go and you can blow. Well, I was looking at it with the kids. We got this flyer in from a store, and we were looking at some meat. Now, I don't know. Maybe some of you, and if so, please do not tell me after the service, as I think I'll bend over laughing or hit you. All right? Either one. I don't know which one. But we were looking at Kobe beef. I guess it's from Japan. Japanese Kobe beef, and it was on sale. You could buy 12 Kobe steaks on sale for $1,099. Like, who in the world is buying that? I'm going to follow him in. And then after, I'm like, hey, donation. Like, who can, I mean, you think about that, on sale. That's like $90 a steak. I'd be like, and the way some of you grill, I mean, holy cow, that'd be like a burnt offering going up. Here it is, scorched. Here's this $90 steak that's now beef jerky. Like, oh no. But I can't imagine. I mean, can you imagine? And it's, all right, that's the sell price. And that's when God had already been dealing with me and my heart as far as giving, and that it's about Christ. And I thought, how silly of Americans. Because probably some corporate guy is going to go in there, oh, I'm having a corporate Christmas party. What a waste. It's just a waste. When I know of folks that need the gospel, and there's places that are trying to work and get money to just write the scriptures, and they're spending thousands of dollars on 12 steaks. That's how silly America is. And we want to say, and that's what this is written to you and I. It's us that live in America, us that have so much. And it's saying, go to now, you rich men. Weep. And how? That idea is shrieking. We have a wrong value system. The value system is messed up. We need to be careful of our value system. We need to have Christ and God's value system. We need to understand that we need to align ourselves up and see that eternity things, temporal things are not that important, but things of eternal value, that is what counts. And so then putting things into my life that'll last, that's what's important. And at Christmas, sharing the gospel with somebody. That's why we have these things. We have a Christmas music night. We have a Christmas banquet. We have a children's program. We have all these things. Not to just sit there and just say, oh, that's cute. No, because Christ can change their life. That's what he can do. And that's what we have got to see. We've got to change our value system. The second thing we see in our text. Look at verse 3. Your gold and silver is cankered. The rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last day. So that's the idea. It's a wrong, you have a wrong value system. You think it's all about storing it up and tanking it up. Then look at verse 4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That Lord of Sabaoth, you may say, what is that? That is a name of Jehovah. It's a name of God. That is, that name in the Old Testament was the Lord of hosts. That is his fighting name. All right, so guess what the rich have done? The rich have gathered up, and it says, did you notice some of the words? There's fraud. So God not only, James, all right, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is writing for us for God, and he's telling us when it comes to our possessions, our value system is wrong. We value it wrongly, but also you can obtain it wrongly. These rich men, what does it say? It's fraud. Fraudulent. Now, some sitting here, you're employers. The majority sitting here, you're employees. This is talking to you and I. God not only says your value system needs to be heavenly, but your work ethic needs to be right. You don't cheat people. We live in a day and age like, well, they didn't catch it. Oh, guess what I did at work? Yeah, I was able to do this and this, and they didn't catch me. You're a heathen. You're going to answer to God someday. And what God said is, you know what? That cheating fraud is crying out, and it's crying out to the fighting God, to the God of he's the Lord of hosts, and the Lord of hosts will come and wreak vengeance upon you. That's what he's saying. And it's talking about the rich. That's why, you know what, I don't have to worry. Later in the text, I believe verse 7 is there for you and I as a Christian. You know what he tells us? I don't have to get bent out of shape if someone's taking advantage out of me. Why? Be patient. Be patient. You know, God will deal with it. The Lord of hosts, I come and lay it down at the Lord of hosts. And guess what? God can deal with it a lot better than I can. But as an employer or as an employee, God cares how you're getting your money. That's why, and if you work there, I'm sorry, you're just gonna get Bible today. That's why I don't think it's good for a Christian to work in a casino. I'm sorry. Why? Because it's ill-gotten means. It's gotten wrongly. I think that as a Christian, all right, I wouldn't run an alcoholic store. You know, they used to, now it's kind of combined. It's getting harder to kind of take a stand against alcohol. But you know what? As much as possible, I don't want to touch alcohol. I don't want anything to do with it. And then, all right, for sure, hey, if you're involved with it, you need for sure get right. I wouldn't be involved in drug abuse, like selling it. All right, why? Because God cares how you get your money. He cares how you get your money. Not just, we have a different value system, but he also cares how I gain my money. It needs to be honorable. It needs to be right. I don't cheat people. And you say, well, they did it. I don't care. Because I'm going to answer to God for what I do. And if you're taking things in a wrong way, all right, what makes you any different? Then you're a thief. You're fraudulent. The Bible is telling us that he cares. Look at, if you want to write some verses down, we don't have time to go through all of them because we'd like to finish this morning. So in Psalm 37, if you want to write it down, Psalm 37 and verse 16, it says, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." You know what he's saying? It's better just to have a little bit and to be honorable with it. To be filthy rich and to be a fraud and a deceiver. Because guess what? The Lord of Sabbath, he sees. He sees. In Proverbs 13, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." That's Proverbs 13 and verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's a well-known passage about gaining money and about money. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." But then it says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." There are some people that have a wrong value system. And their value system is this: I can get all I want, I'm going to store all I want, because it's all about this life. And you'll know if your value system is in a proper perspective by how much debt you have. If you have racked up your credit cards, then you're living for this world. You're living for this world. It's all about here. It's all about now. Racking up and you got to have the newest and the latest and you can't afford it, then don't tell me that you have eternity's values in view. No, you don't. You're living for right now because you got to have it. You have a wrong value system. Then also, we need to be careful how we get our finances. And then last in our thing, look at in verse 5 and 6. It says, not only can you value money wrongly, can you get it wrongly, but you can use it wrongly. Look at verse 5 and 6. "You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton." You know that word, "been wanton," means that it's empty. There's no satisfaction. You lived in pleasure, been wanton. "You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter." Now that's a funny. So here, James, guess what he is telling these rich folks? He's telling you and I. You know what you're like? You're like a farmer that has gone out and he knows that he has these pigs and he wants his bacon tasting good. So guess what he does? He feeds his pigs like they're pigs. Man gives them everything they want, and guess what the pigs do? All right, and man, they are all over that grub. But guess what's coming? The day of slaughter. So here's the preacher, James, coming at you. Remember I said he comes out with these right hooks. And here he comes at us that are rich and that we think we have a wrong value system. It doesn't matter how I get my money. We're going to use it however we want. He says, you're like a fatted pig because the slaughter is coming. Ouch. I mean, my suit almost fits. I'm like, what? But that's, I mean, you're sitting there living it up, eating it up, because it's all about now. And you know what happens? All right, it's 2:00 in the afternoon on Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. All of that kicked in. You're not really awake, are you? You're not really alive. All you're thinking about is your pillow. Oh, it's nap time. All right, why? Because you just filled yourself up and it dulls your senses, doesn't it? That's what James is telling us. He's saying you use money all wrong because it's dulling your spiritual senses. and you don't understand slaughter is coming. Verse 6, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Oh, you know what? No judgment's coming. Look it. And that's the way some of us live. Where's God at? Oh, he must. I can do what I want. No judgment's coming. Benjamin Franklin said this about money. A vain man's motto is win gold and wear it. A generous man's motto is win gold and share it. A miser's motto is win gold and hoard it. A prodigal's motto is win gold and spend it. A broker's motto is win gold and lend it. A gambler's motto is win gold and lose it. A Christian's motto is win gold and use it. We use it for God. And some people might say, what do you mean, God? God cares about how I use it? Yes, he does. Some people say, well, I give a tenth. Then it's my business what I do with the leftover. Oh, no, 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 no. On the contrary, one's spending habits reveal your stewardship. Your spending reveals where your true love is. Because God cares about all of it. One man a minister back in the 1200s said, the art of acquiring money is subordinate to the art of using it. C.H. Spurgeon said that a fool may make money, but it needs a wise man to spend it. Henry Ford pointed out that the use of money is so vital that it could be compared to the use of an arm or a leg. He said, use it or lose it. Money is consecrated or desecrated by its use. And there are many folks that drop a little bit into the offering plate, but the rest of their 90, and maybe you give 20%. And you say, wow, I am such a good Christian. But your 80% is used in vile things and wickedness. God sees it, just so you know. God sees it. He sees when you're wasting money because God cares about our whole person. He cares about all of us. Because it's not just about dropping a little bit into the offering plate. It's about having a right mindset with all that God has given me. And this morning, that's what my challenge to you is. Is it just, well, God gets that, but this is mine. Then you do not understand properly the biblical perspective of stewardship. In our passage, it says, oh, go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl, for your miseries, notice what it says, shall come upon you. It's going to come. You just say, well, this is mine. It doesn't matter. I can gain it however I want. I can use it however I want. It doesn't matter. Then you are not a good Christian. And what it says is your misery is going to come on your head. It's sad to me to see Christians, whether it's that they've grown up here or it's a Christian that is out in the world and they do whatever they want and they have a token Christianity. And then on the outside, they always have to say, oh, I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy. And yet when they're by themselves or when they're with somebody that they really can open up their heart, guess what they say? I am so miserable. You know why? Because God's word always is right. Amen. It's always right. You can do what you want and you can say, you know what, this is my life. That's fine. And the preacher James is saying this. There's one or two things happening. If it's, oh, this is my life, I can do whatever, and nothing nothing happens, and there's no change, then what the preacher James is saying, I don't think you're saved. That's James talking. That's one of God's books. That's not me saying it. It's James saying it because he's saying your faith has no works to back it up. And then as a Christian, if I think that way, what the Bible is telling me is, watch out. The Lord of Sabbath, the Lord of hosts, he sees you. He sees how you're acting. He sees how you're just, you don't care what he thinks. It is God's. This is his money and it's his life. It's all his. And when he saved me, he bought me with a price. If that's true, then it'll change how I behave with not just my offering. It'll change how I behave with the rest of the money that's in my pocket. Because God cares not just what's in the offering plate. He also cares what's left in my pocket. Because it's all his. It's all his. Heads bowed, eyes closed. One man put it this way, dug from the mountainside, washed in the glen. Servant am I or the master of men? Steal me, I curse you. Earn me, I bless you. Grasp me and hoard me, a demon shall possess you. Lie for me, die for me, covet me, take me. Angel or devil, I am what you make me. Be a good steward of God's provision to you. How have you been handling the money God's been given to you? The Bible says, go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl, for your miseries shall come upon you. Weep and howl. Why? Because if I just think like a heathen rich man that's out there, that I can do what I want. It doesn't matter. I can gain it however I want. I can spend it however I want. This is mine. Then you don't have a proper understanding of finances biblically. Maybe God dealt with you this morning in the area of finances. That was my prayer. I believe as we come into this time of the year, we should be thinking about it. Why? Because the world is saying, kind of, it's a worldly philosophy at Christmas. It's all about everybody else, and it's actually about me. It's some people, as far as in the business world, the only reason they're giving is to get some credit somewhere. That isn't why I give and why I do things. We live for a different purpose as a Christian. And as a Christian here this morning, maybe God tugged on your heart in the area of finances. It's been all about you and it's all yours, or maybe gaining it. Your value system was wrong. You're gaining it wrong, or you're using it wrong. Then you need to ask God to deal with your heart and change your perspective. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the Word of God and the strength of it, the power of it, and how it can make us a better people. Pray that you bless the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed, eyes closed. God may have dealt with your heart in some area. And if God did, the piano and organ are going to play. The altar's always open. There's people down here. If you need someone to talk to, pray with, just catch one of them. You're a man can deal with you. A lady can deal with you. If God dealt with you in the area of salvation, we did not speak on salvation this morning, but you're unsure. You're unsure of where you'll spend eternity. We always have people available to talk to you. If you're unsure where you spend eternity, the altar's open also.